Now, according to all of them flat belly experts, I should have took a dirt nap like 30 years ago. And I'm still here. And they keep dying.
Like some licorice.
Rage. Rage against the dying of the light.
Rode past me, kept on going, never said nothing going by, just rode.
Yeah, where did you learn trains, old man?
I'm too old for this.
Back with you now on The Takeaway, I'm Tanzina Vega. And if you're planning a trip to the movies this Thanksgiving weekend, you've got plenty of films to choose from. But when it comes to movies starring actors over the age of 70, well, your options are decidedly more limited. And that doesn't mean you're completely out of luck. Martin Scorsese's The Irishman has three leads over the age of 75, and with the help of expensive special effects, they also get the opportunity to play younger version of their characters in flashbacks. And if you prefer your septuagenarians to have British accents, there's also The Good Liar, a thriller released earlier this month starring Ian McKellen as a con artist and Helen Mirren as his target. Here's Mirren speaking with the Associated Press about her character in the film.
There is an emptiness in her life, you know. She doesn't have a companion. She has no one to go to dinner with, no one to go to the cinema with. As you get older and you realize, you know what, I still have agency in my life. Things are still happening in my life. It doesn't all stop, you know, when you're 50.
Well, thank goodness for that. Joining me now to talk about what happens in Hollywood if you are over the age of 50 are Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday and The Takeaway, and Allison Wilmore, film critic at Vulture and New York Magazine. Great to have you both in studio. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Tanzina.
Thanks for having us.
So, The Good Liar, there is a huge billboard right down the block from here at WNYC. It caught my attention. How could it not? But mostly because both of the stars are over 70. They have gray hair. Their skin is wrinkled. Rafer, you've seen the film. What did you think?
Well, I was struck just as you were by the fact that you had these two lead actors in a film that I think normally we would expect, you know, it's a cat and mouse thriller. He's a con man. She's a widow. He's preying on her. But of course, there's going to be more to the story than that. And it's the kind of thing you expect to see two, you know, young, hot, sexy actors in with lots of action and guns and maybe a little erotic charge here and there. And instead, you've got Sir Ian McKellen and Dame Helen Mirren. And, you know, I thought it was solid. I wasn't bowled over by it, but it's you know, when you have two actors like that, you know, commanding the screen, it's really just a two-hander mostly with those two. There's only so bad I think it can really be. They're great together. They're both charming. They're fun. They're so smart. They just radiate intelligence on the screen all the time. And it's a little contrived, of course, as these thrillers tend to be, but you know, it's a lot of fun to see these two play off each other. And they're not hiding their age. This movie is all about age, and that's pretty interesting. And
to that point, Allison, you've also seen the film. As far as roles for older actors in Hollywood go, was there anything unique about the relationship between Mirren and McKellen's characters in the film? I mean, Rafer just mentioned, you know, if they had been sort of younger characters, there might have been this like sexual spark. Is there a spark?
There is, but I think what I liked about it is it's also about this kind of negotiation of, is Helen Mirren's character looking for romance? Is she looking for companionship? She's at a point in her life where she's like perfectly happy to be like, I don't want a, you know, a romantic relationship, but I like the company. And I think things like that you don't see often in stories about younger characters, you know, and to see these characters who are at a point where they're like, this is what I want. I know what I want. I don't care if it doesn't necessarily fit within, you know, the kind of standard templates that we have. I think that was really neat. That and the fact that it's still a thriller, and there are moments in it where characters really surprise you with what you're capable of. And, you know, the fact that you see them as like these older kind of like esteemed actors doesn't mean they're not capable of, you know, a little toughness.
Mm-hmm. Rafer, Bill Condon directed The Good Liar, and he's worked with Ian McKellen at several points in his career. Are certain directors better at casting older stars?
I don't know. I think, as they get older, I think they find some kind of sort of a simpatico relationship with their stars. You know, you mentioned the Irishman earlier, which I think is a great example of that. It feels, and I don't mean this as a knock in any way, it feels like a late life film. That, you know, that movie is about people who kind of get toward the end of their life and are grappling with all these things they've done. It's Scorsese, I think, kind of looking back at this mobster genre that he helped certainly define, if not create, And there's something really cool about that, about having this kind of body of knowledge and this empathy for these characters that maybe a younger director might not be able to summon up.
At the same time, though, it's Scorsese, it's De Niro, it's Pacino, it's Pesci. I mean, who's not going to go see a film like that? And the thing that those folks all have in common, Allison, is that they're all men. Older men tend to get cast, I would say, more readily in Hollywood. We can even extend that to Sylvester Stallone and Tom Cruise, who are continuing to make movies over the age of 50, dare we say, even though they may not want us to. What about women?
I think that there are some roles for women. We have people that we revere, you know. Meryl Streep is not, you know, but she's always going to be working, you know, at any age. I think that the thing is that it's more often when we see, I think, women in these roles, age is a part of the story, whereas a lot of older actors are still capable of being cast in films where it is not, you know, a talking point. You can go on to have mainstream fame and continue to have it and not have it be entirely revolving around your age.
And not have it be something that is seen as a negative, right? I mean, that a lot of these folks are still out there doing gangster stuff and all types
right.
of...
Marvel movies.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, when we think about... What about off Hollywood screens? I recall in Netflix, Grace and Frankie with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda. I had never seen something like that that featured two women in their 70s, I want to say, who were dating and out there and talking about all the smoking pot and God knows what else. And I mean, is Netflix doing a better job than Hollywood, Allison? What do you think?
I think that Netflix definitely is able to kind of invest in longer tail audiences like that. And I think you also see in kind of independent film releases, there are always oftentimes ones that perform very well on a smaller scale because older audiences go out to see movies in the movie theater. It's not all teens at the Cineplex.
Let's talk a little bit about that, Rafer, because in 2017, an AARP study found that 75% of audience members for art house or independent films are over the age of 50. What's up with that? Is that the audience there?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I think Hollywood is really busy courting the all-important 18 to 34-year-old demographic. And it's true that they do see more movies than the over 50 crowd. You know, they tend to see maybe 5 or 6 on average. The older crowd maybe sees 2 or 3. You know, but I think they tend to choose well. And I think they tend to remember also the days when it was a perfectly acceptable thing to do to go see a drama at the movies, which is something that I think people don't do as often as they used to.
We're getting older as a country also. I mean, is there as we're getting more diverse, we're also getting older. Is there perhaps an opportunity there for directors to say, you know what, let's start casting roles and actors that reflect this audience?
I mean, it would seem on just like a market level to be a great idea. There are a lot of people out there who are hungry for those stories.
If our listeners are planning on staying home to watch an older movie starring actors over 60 this weekend, do you each have a recommendation? We've got about a minute left.
I do. I would recommend an old movie from 1979, Going in Style. Art Carney, George Burns, Lee Strasberg, amazing cast about the three older gentlemen who decide to hold up a bank, which sounds like an action comedy, and it sort of is, but it's also very poignant and very tender. And that was actually a young director who had a surprising amount of empathy for these older characters, and the movie gets very real about what it means to get older. And that's a great film.
Allison?
I really like The Meddler, that's from the director of Hustlers, if you're a fan of Hustlers. Susan Sarandon as a woman who kind of maybe is a little over-interested in her adult daughter's life. But it's a really kind of warm, lovely movie. There's a romance in it. If you have mixed feelings about Susan Sarandon, I would say set them aside. Rent it. It's a great one.
Rafer Guzman is film critic for Newsday and The Takeaway, and Allison Wilmore is film critic at Vulture and New York Magazine. Thanks to you both.
Oh, thank you. A pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.